Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we had a wonderful Winter Bible Seminar. We want to say a special hello to those that are still in town. You know, actually, you get to enjoy a normal February day today. I mean, you know, we're back in the 40s, which is amazing. I mean, you know, I never thought that I would shout for 40 degrees. I mean, yesterday I think it was close to 40. It was in the 30s, and actually, I had a shirt on that I threw what they call a hoodie on top of it, and I actually got hot. I had to take my hoodie off. I mean, you know, 40 degrees. You know, that's 40 degrees more than I'm used to, which is sad to say. But anyway, you know, we're getting back to normal. Amen. And every which way, I know it's going to be close to 60 degrees on Tuesday, and we're excited about that. Amen and amen. Well, if you haven't listened to the latest podcast episode, came out on Thursday, it's entitled Mind Control. And so it's, you know, an amazing episode. No, just encourage you to do that. You can listen to our podcast wherever you find podcasts. Most people actually listen on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, it just seems. Or if you don't know how to do it, go to rhema.org, go to media, look down the list, and you'll find my podcast. And actually, there's links to places to go to listen to the Rhema Weekly Podcast. We have a new episode out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so, actually, just to kind of give you behind the scenes of how we come up with, people always want to know, well, you know, how do you come up with messages and how do you do things? And so before we talk about today's message, I'm just going to let you know, here's the thing. Well, first of all, the way we do our schedule around here at Rhema is usually before the first Sunday of the month, they put out a calendar so we know when we're going to speak. And half the time we don't know exactly who's speaking when and those kind of things. Well, I don't know if you guys realize the first Sunday in February was February the 7th. You realize that? So it was kind of late, and so we were kind of late putting out the calendar. In fact, so late, and we didn't even have it out before February 7th. They sent a thing, Denise sent a thing saying that Dad was going to preach on Sunday morning. Oh, actually, on Sunday morning, the 7th, and then he was going to preach on Wednesday night. So we knew that, and I can't remember who preached Sunday night, the 7th. So we kind of only knew the first week. Well, actually, on the 6th, Dad tells me, even though he's scheduled to preach Winter Bible Seminar February the 14th on Sunday night, he's not going to do it. All right, that I want you to do it. So I already knew that, so kind of knew my schedule. So then I think the 10th of February released the schedule and found I knew I was already going to do Wednesday Winter Bible Seminar. Found out I was preaching this Sunday morning. This is a dreaded Sunday morning. Nobody wants to preach the Sunday morning after Winter Bible Seminar or the Sunday morning after camp meeting. I know Brother Jim Andrews has done it a number of times, you know, so he's probably glad I'm here and not him, you know, because, you know, we had 22 services last week. So, you know, I'm also preaching on Wednesday night. So obviously, you know, I didn't know I was preaching until like last week or a week before last. And so what I do is I always have sermons rolling around my head. In fact, Mind Control, actually, my podcast, that was going to be a sermon that I've never preached yet. I thought about preaching it last Sunday night. It didn't work. Thought about preaching today. It didn't work. Got two other sermons I was thinking about preaching. And then my third sermon I was thinking about preaching was actually from Matthew chapter 7. And I started, what I like to do, if there's a verse that I'm looking at, I like to look in context of why this verse is here. And I read the whole, you know, chapter ahead of time. And I'm like, man, Matthew chapter 7 is pretty good. So the title of my message today is Matthew chapter 7. All right. And this is the fourth message I was going to preach today. But anyway, this is the one that's kind of... And really, because I was just interested, you know, a lot of times we don't think about how these scriptures end up in our Bible. Matthew chapter 7 actually is the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. And, you know, it starts in Matthew chapter 5. And you realize that you know, they kind of divided up the Matthew 5. It was just kind of one little long letter, and they divided up into chapters. And so Matthew chapter 7 is the last chapter on the Sermon on the Mount. And so if you want to really get the whole thing in context, you got to start with Matthew chapter 5. We didn't have time to do the whole Sermon on the Mount on one service anyway. And I wanted to Matthew 7 was kind of where my heart was, so we're going to just do Matthew 7. Now, I want you to remember that these are things that Jesus said. Because I think some people kind of forget that Jesus said these things. And really, a lot of the things in the Sermon on the Mount, he basically talks about a lot of attitudes and the way that Christians should live their life. And so it's a really important sermon for us. And really, it's one of the few times where we see, you know, many times Jesus ministered, but this is one of the few times where we actually see, you know, everything he said, you know, all in a row. And it was kind of interesting, even to look at one chapter. He talks about a lot of things in one chapter. Now, someone says that this sermon could have lasted for days. You know, some people think I preach long. You've never spent the night in the auditorium, okay? You know, so. And then, you know, sometimes too, it is interesting how we want everything quickly, but sometimes it takes a long time to learn stuff, you know? And, you know, so. Anyway, so we'll start with Matthew 7:1. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Why? Because a lot of times we don't read from different translations. This is a more modern translation, so it helps a lot of people. And it says some things that I hadn't seen before. We all know Matthew 7:1. Not everybody is a doer of the word like we talked about, but we all know what it says. It says, do not judge others. Now, how hard is it to understand when it says do not judge others? Now, realize he's talking to the Christians here. Do not judge others. Well, that's pretty simple. What does that mean? Do not judge others. All right. Has anyone ever read Facebook? I have seen a lot of judgmental statements that a lot of Christians have said on Facebook last week. So you know what? Maybe, I mean, I'm the person that would probably could do this, but instead of just leaving a comment, instead of leaving what I want to say, why not I just leave a scripture? Matthew 7:1. Do not judge others. But you know what? If you do that, it's going to offend somebody. I guarantee you it will. And how can, you know, do you realize that means that Jesus offended them? And so, you know, sometimes we need to remember the thing is, you know, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just a messenger of Jesus. These are not my words. You know, because sometimes a lot of people don't want to hear that scripture because a lot of people, for whatever reason, like being judgmental. I don't. I don't believe in judging anybody because, you know, my grandfather taught me to be a doer of the word to you know, what does the word say, Craig? Well, the word says, do not judge others. I know we like to selectively not preach on these things. It says, and you will not be judged. Well, you know, how many in here like to be judged? I'm sure nobody wants to be judged. Thank you for not raising your hand. I mean, no one wants to be judged, but the point is, if you don't judge others, you will not be judged. So I'm the least judgmental person I know because I don't want to have any judgment toward me either. So that's just that simple. All right, and it goes on to say, for you will be treated as you treat others. Now that's pretty scary. Some of you want to know why you're not being treated very good? Well, why is everyone always picking on me or whatever? For you will be treated as you treat others. Now, I didn't say this once again. This is what Jesus said. You know, people like to shout sometimes when they hear what Jesus said, but no one's shouting the whole lot this morning. Anyway, the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Now, this kind of seems that we're talking about God judging me. Well, I don't want God to judge me. So the best way not to get judged is not be a judge. I mean, you know, we got plenty of judges. We got Judge Judy and Judge Wapner. I think he passed away, didn't he? That's sad. I mean, there's all kinds of new judges I never seen before, you know, on TV. So we don't need you. All right. Then there's real judges, you know. And now, this has nothing to do, wasn't going to be in my sermon, but just hit me. Do you realize what kind of treatment that our now Supreme Court judge just had to go through just to become a judge? Do you know how many people judged him? So that's kind of interesting. I'm not trying to be political here, but I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you know, we're judgmental, even to our judges. Okay. It says, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own? Hypocrites! Exclamation points. Do you realize that means that Jesus said, hypocrite? I mean, he was being kind of mean. This is the man of love. I mean, he was being mean because you're being mean. Anyway, he goes on to say, first rid the log out of your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your own eye. So, point is, don't judge others. Well, you know, but they've committed sin. Yeah, but we have other rules. I mean, remember when Jesus, you know, they brought the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery, and that when he said that he without sin cast the first stone, nobody started throwing stones. Okay, and I know that we in our own mind, we have our own attitude of how bad sin is. All right, and so we use the list that we have from the Old Testament to, you know, everybody knows about the Ten Commandments. How many know about the Ten Commandments? Everybody should know about the Ten Commandments. Good thing 20% of you know about the Ten Commandments. No wonder we're doing well. In Ten Commandments, you know, there are a number of different commandments. And the commandment that most of us think is the worst one is thou shalt not kill. You know, that's the deadly one. All right? But you realize it's only one of the commandments on the list. There's 10 of them. All right? And many of us might be a little more judgmental toward killers, you know, because that's bad. And I'm not saying it's good. Okay? I'm not condoning killing somebody. All right? Just want to let you know. Got to be very specific here. All right? But another commandment there is, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness, or thou shalt not lie. And a lot of people are breaking multiple times in a day one commandment, when this guy actually broke his commandment one time. Now, it was a big one, we thought. But it's the same. See, I mean, what the Bible says is all those commandments, you know, we those have the same punishment. I feel sorry for those folks on TV, those news, supposedly news reporters, because thou shalt not lie is happening a lot. You know, now, I mean, you know, I'm kind of being funny, but you know, a lot of times that a lot of us, I mean, I'm here to say, without even thinking about it, I bet we have 100% participation that we've all lied at some point in time in our life. All right? And if you made it this long in your life, however old you are in this room, without lying, unless you were just born like 2 weeks ago or something like that, then you're a liar for saying you haven't lied. We've all lied, you know. And here's the thing, it's got to a point now because it's so commonplace, we don't even think twice about that. We're not even judgmental toward liars anymore. Just part of life. You know, and so, but the thing is don't be judgmental. Well, yeah, but they did this. I don't care what they've done. We've all come short. We've all committed sin. I mean, you know, pick your poison. Well, that person is addicted to alcohol. Yeah, but you're addicted to Diet Coke. All right. I mean, you know, well, yeah, but it's just Diet Coke. Well, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody, I'm not saying Diet Coke's going to send you to hell, okay? So I'm just saying that we're all addicted to something. I found that people, you know, just are addicted. Now, I actually told someone one day, because I've told many waiters or waitresses that I have a drinking problem after they fill my drink up for like the fifth or sixth time. All right. Good thing I don't drink alcohol, but actually, I mean, it doesn't matter if I order iced tea, I'm going to have like 5 glasses. If I order Coca-Cola, I'm going to drink 5 glasses. I drink water now, so I drink 5 or 6 glasses. Now, the only problem with drinking a lot of water and even iced tea is that you have to go to the bathroom a lot afterwards. But that's, you know, that's beside the point. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, I drink a lot of liquid. And so now I choose to have a better liquid to drink, you know. And so, but I mean, I guess if that was beer, I'd probably drink a lot of those too. I mean, you know, I guess it might be different because there's no free refills on that. Okay, you know. Some of you guys went to Rhema, had my financial management class. You know that I'm pretty cheap when it comes to that. You know, if I'm paying for the refill, I might get one refill. But you know, free refills, just fill it up. I mean, you know. So, anyway, the point is, don't be a hypocrite. All right, don't be judgmental. Yeah, people do things, you know, and in fact, the best thing to do, if you hear that one of your brothers or sisters have fallen into sin, instead of being judgmental toward them, why don't we pray for them? You know, pray for you know, God to help them get through that situation. You know, it's just that important. All right, let's skip down to the next thing Jesus talked about, effective prayer, verse 7. Says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. It doesn't say you might receive, it says you will receive. Just ask me. Keep asking. It goes on to say, keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Your parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And this is where we get the thing, you know, ask the Lord. You have not because you ask not. It says if we continue to ask him, he's going to continue to give us good gifts, just like our parents, you know, give their children good gifts. Man, if we ask him, if we seek his will, we're going to find it. Whatever we ask for, whatever we seek, whatever we want, we serve such a good God that he's able to provide it. And Jesus was telling it, but you know, I think a lot of people, because they want to skip over the judgmental scripture, they don't even look at the next ones. You know, there are probably chapters in your Bible you'd want me to avoid because you don't want to see that scripture because you're talking about judgmental, you get judged by, you know, see, that's the thing. It's not for you as the other Christian to judge somebody, but it's let God judge them as they read the word. All right? You know, it's not for us to judge people. Actually, what we're supposed to do is to love people in the kingdom of God. Now, here's also something else. You realize that a lot of times the people that you're judging aren't even Christians. So if they're not a Christian, they don't have the Christian nature. So how can you judge them? Because they don't have the nature of Christ on the inside. Or maybe they're a baby Christian and they don't even really know much. You know? So, you know, the thing about it is, Jesus said, don't judge. And then he said, you know what? You can have an effective prayer life if you'll just ask. If you just ask. Now, also, keep on seeking it. You know, because a lot of times that I found out when it comes to what I call faith projects, things that we're believing God for, that a lot of times that we'll do it a couple times and then we kind of forget about it wasn't that important to us. If it's important to us, you'll keep seeking it. You know, you'll keep desiring it. The Bible says that he wants to give us the desires of our heart. And whatever we desire, when we pray, believe that we receive and we shall have. You know, and I mean, I just keep believing every time because I know that my God is a good God. I know that my God loves me. In fact, I have an attitude, and he doesn't, but my attitude is that God loves me more than anybody else in this world. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you more than anybody else. You have to have that attitude, even though he loves us all the same. But, you know, I pretend he loves me the most. Why not? Because everybody else loves me the most. So, you know, You know, but God doesn't play favorites. And that's something else that we need to realize. If God doesn't play favorites, that means that if, quote unquote, Brother Hagin can get it, then so can you. Because some people think, well, yeah, but that's Brother Hagin, that's Brother Copeland, that's Brother so-and-so, that's Dr. Seuss. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, that's Jack and the Beanstalk. I mean, all those people. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter, where you've been. All right, the next thing that Jesus said was verse number 12, and it's called the golden rule. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. It basically says, this sums up the whole Old Testament, guys. What you want them to do to you, do to them. Growing up, you all know that I have three boys. And a lot of times, it was interesting that one would hit the other, then the other one hit them back. Why did they get hit back? Because they were just following the golden rule. But maybe if they want to be quit getting hit, maybe they don't hit back because it says do to others like you would want them to do to you. Just because somebody else tears you down doesn't mean that you should also tear them down, which will mean that they'll tear you down again. We would stop a lot of arguments if we would follow the golden rule. Yeah, but that person says something mean. Okay, let us stop right there. Well, yeah, but they said something mean. Good for them. Praise God. Here's the thing, folks. People are going to say mean things about you. Some of them are going to do it publicly. Some of them are going to tweet about it. And some of them, maybe they lose their Twitter, can't tweet anymore. All right. Happens a lot. All right. So, it doesn't matter what people say. The point is, at some point in time, somebody has to be the grown-up, or someone has to be, in this world, someone has to be the Christ-like person. So, now I understand, I'm not calling the other person the devil, okay? I just want to. But at some point in time, you got to decide, okay, this is going to be a vicious cycle. I mean, have you ever seen this? And actually, people have now made, YouTube channels about it. Sometimes I think it's pretty fake after a while. But what happens is there's people in this world that one person pulls a prank on somebody, and then they pull a prank back on that person, which makes them pull another prank on that person, and it goes on for forever. If you're going to do this to me, I'm going to do this to you. And then that's what happens in real life. But at some point in time, we have to decide, I would like to be treated with respect. So if you want to be treated with respect, treat everybody with respect. I would like people to love me and not yell at me all the time. Well, the good thing, the way to do that is to love people and not yell at them all the time. Don't be rude. If you want to be treated with niceness, don't be rude. It's just that way. You're going to get what we reap what we sow. Now, a lot of times we want to reap what we sow when it comes to finances, but we don't want to reap what we sow when it comes to the way we act. And if we would actually read the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, this is not the way Christians act. This is not how Christ-like people do it. These are kind of some of the rules, because, we're all looking for the rules, and we're like, there's 10 different rules, but really there's only a couple of rules Jesus said. The first one was to love God. That's an easy rule. The second one is to love people. That's not always easy for people. You realize the second one means, you got to love people even whenever they don't love you. It doesn't say love them because they love you. Treat them respect because they treat you. It says to treat them respect in spite of how they treat you. So people need to be, instead of being spiteful, be inspiteful. All right? So that's a good tweet. Be inspiteful. All right. Next thing. And this is kind of, I really struggled with even bringing this up, because I'm like, this isn't right, Jesus. But I'm like, but Jesus said it, so how can I not say it's not right? I can't say Jesus isn't right. All right? It's called the narrow gate, it says here. Verse 13, it says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell, that's a shout out to ACDC, is broad, and its gate is wide. For many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only few ever find it. Well, that's kind of really things. I mean, well, how am I going to follow this little narrow little path or whatever? What Jesus is saying is like, anybody can go to hell. Some of you are trying to send people to hell. I've heard even Christians tell people, go to hell. I'm like, well, that's, you know, really, that's the worst thing you can ever say. Or rather you cuss at somebody than tell them to go to hell. Because telling someone to go to hell, that means go spend a lifetime, your rest of your life burning in eternity. That's mean. Just cuss at them. I mean, I'm not condoning cussing or whatever, but going to hell is the meanest thing you could say. And I've heard Christians say that. You know, I know people, we shouldn't say hell, especially from the pulpit, but maybe if more pastors would say hell from the pulpit, maybe less people would go. I mean, you know, that's, you know. But the point is Jesus was saying, hey, even a dummy can go to hell. All you got to do is just be, you know, if just use your sinful nature. You realize that man has a sinful nature. All right? And that's the reason that we can't judge people, because they're just using their own nature. But in order to be a Christian, there's some rules you got to follow. And so only some people will choose to follow those rules. All right? But the point is, I don't like the difficult word here. And sometimes, you know, because I don't think it's difficult, but it's not difficult when we renew our mind. That comes back to my mind control sermon. But when we renew our mind, it's not really that difficult. When we think like Jesus thinks, it's not that difficult. But for some people, it is, because that's not how they think. So I'm going to use an illustration. Obviously, everyone knows I've been losing weight. Do you realize that a lot of people say, well, Craig, is it difficult? And I really actually, to be honest with you, say no, it's not difficult. But sometimes it's challenging. What do you mean it's challenging? Well, I actually go eat out a lot. And it takes me longer to choose what I need to order in order to meet my diet. Because instead of just quickly spouting off a choice, and it's not just, I mean, the main dish might be fine, but do you realize a lot of times if I order a fish, which fish is great on my diet, they like to put it on top of rice, and rice doesn't really go with my diet. So I have to make sure they remove that rice, because I don't want to see that rice, so I won't eat the rice. I found out that the best thing way not to eat something is not having it on your plate. All right, now rice is probably a bad example, because rice is not something that I just desire, you know, because they don't necessarily put fish on top of chocolate cake, but that might be more of a tempting thing. I know that sounds bad, but, you know, someone on a diet, that might be really tempting. You know, so the point is there's rules that I have to follow, and as long as I follow the rules, it's not hard. And once you get used to the way you eat, and then, you know, obviously if I gone back to that restaurant before, I mean, you know, thank God for Google. I go online and see certain things that this restaurant might have, or certain things you can adjust, you know, or, I mean, I don't like to be that guy. Okay, well, I'm going to have this, and can I minus this, but add this, and can I add some of that, and, you know, and all these other things, you know, but I try to do it nicely, you know, but, you know, so I have to order correctly, all right, and so it's not that difficult. It just, I make choices before I speak. I make choices before I act. And so a lot of times, if we would make some choices before we act or speak, we would stay out of a lot of trouble. Be slow to speak. Be slow. It's just like, you know, so it's not difficult, but there are some rules to follow. If to be a Christian, there are rules you have to follow. One thing is to be a follower after Christ. I got to be Christ-like. You know, all those things. So it's not necessarily difficult, you know, but, you know, here's the other side about it, is there are a number of times throughout my diet that we have gone to Texas Roadhouse. Anybody ever gone to Texas Roadhouse? Do you realize Texas Roadhouse have some of the amazing rolls when they're hot and that kind of thing? You know, And so do you realize that we go to Texas Roadhouse quite a bit? And there, I mean, a steak is really good on my diet, but the rolls are not really good on my diet. Do you know there's a number of times that we go to Texas Roadhouse and I watch my kids and, you know, my family, and they're gathering in the spoils, so to speak. I mean, they're just like taking in those rolls, and they're going to town, you know, and it's, you know, and I don't know if it's, it wouldn't be tempting for one for the smell. I mean, they should just get rid of that smell. I mean, you know, I guess it was one of the great aspects of some people with COVID. They lost their sense of smell, so they couldn't smell whether it smelled good, smelled bad. They didn't care, you know. But that smell, I mean, you know, that smelled good, and I would like to eat one, but I choose not to because, you know, I'd like to lose weight. So making the right choices. But here's the thing. I wasn't judgmental toward them because they ate the rolls. And I wasn't going to be judgmental. Well, what if they need to lose weight too? Well, that's up to them. I'm not here to navigate, you know, their health. I'm not here to navigate their life. I'm here, you know, to live my life and to make the choices that I believe that I need to make. Now, I'm not saying that I'll never eat a roll again, okay? But right now, I choose not to. I will tell you, if there is, sometimes I've had a few extra carbs. That means that the next meal I eat, I have way low carbs because I want to make, you know, check my carb intake. All right, and usually the thing is, if there's something I need to eat or just feel I need to, instead of eating the whole thing, I take a bite. But sometimes taking a bite can be dangerous because taking a bite might, people want to have more. So sometimes the best is not even take a bite. I mean, there are some things that I realize if I take a bite of, and that's the same way when it comes to sin and it comes to things. It might be okay in moderation, but it can go crazy after you get a bite, especially if it's been something that you've been addicted to, you know, whatever it might be. So it's not hard to be a Christian. You just have to think differently. All right? And not everybody are going to make the right choice. There are other people who actually started the journey about the same time I did, and they're not continuing on that journey because it wasn't as easy. Now, I don't think it's hard, but I don't think being a Christian's hard. But there are some people who say, I couldn't follow all the rules that you follow. You know, but that's your choice, not mine. All right, let's skip down to verse 15. Called the tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. You can pick, can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? And I'm here to tell you, Jesus knew a lot about figs. You know, we know that because there was a whole sermons on that. Goes on to say, a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, here's the thing. First of all, let's tackle the false prophets thing, okay? And talk about there'll be many false prophets. Do you realize a false prophet isn't going to say, you know, you're not going to gather a lot of followers, especially you're not going to deceive a lot of Christian followers if you don't kind of look like you're a Christian. And you know, I'm going to say that a lot of false prophets, I'm not going to call anyone by name that they're a false prophet, but a lot of times people who fall into false prophecy or false teaching, they didn't start out that way. They started out teaching some really good, solid things, and they gathered a following. And then when they gathered a following, you know, unfortunately, they begin to not, you know, see the Bible like they should see the Bible, and they kind of get off in error. But see, the people who said, man, that guy taught this really, really well, they start following that person and not following what the Scripture says, and they come off into error as well. You know, I don't think, you know, and so because a false prophet, I mean, you know, most of us, I think we could, most of us could figure out who a false prophet is. You know, it's pretty easy, but then it's deceptful, you know, because, you know, it says he's trying to deceive, he's coming as a sheep and wolf, so they're looking like everything's right, but they're not right.
You know, and I'm just going to tell you, when there are certain people, certain ministers, you know, that they became a overnight sensation hit, and they're doing all these books. You know, people say, well, what do you think about this person? Well, I don't want to judge them because I'm not here to judge them. But I won't know them, you know, because it says we'll know them by their fruits. Well, if they just kind of started off, or it's kind of, you know, maybe they didn't just start off, but just kind of people are make being aware of, I haven't seen their fruits yet because I don't know. You realize it takes a little bit to, you know, a time to produce fruits. All right, you know, and you realize, okay, you know, how many of here have had children? How many have had children? I don't mean the extra person that had the children. I don't want just ladies in here, but you know, men. How many of you have created children? Let's just put it that way. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, but because I understand when I said the word "have children," you're going to have no guys raise your hand because I've never had a baby. I just want to let you know, never had one. You know, so but when you have children, do you realize that if you have a child and let's say they're 2 years old, okay? Now, 2 years old, we hear about the terrible twos. Well, that's a bad confession, first of all. But anyway, you know, but I'm not going to judge the parent by his fruit. If the fruit's only 2 years old, I mean, they're just learning. Now, it takes a while until someone, you know, people start becoming young men and young women. So, you know, not necessarily, everyone makes their own decisions, but you can see the fruit, you know, after time. I mean, just... You know, when someone just graduates from Rhema, you can't judge Rhema by their, you know, they haven't produced any fruit yet or whatever. But over time, do you realize the fact, I had a businessman call me the other day, and they said, Craig, I've decided that I'd like to hire Rhema students. He says, and he's been in business for a while. He goes, actually, I've only had one bad one. One bad one. And I'm not even blaming you for that one. All right, he said, but the thing is, I found out that Rhema students and Rhema graduates, you know, I'm sure church members would fit in that category as well. He says, I don't have to retrain them. They have a thing called Christian ethics that just kind of, it's a part of their culture. You know, and that's really kind of part of things we're reading here in Matthew chapter 7, Christian ethics. All right, but there are people going to come in and be deceptive. But then, you know, when you see the fruit of their labor, you can see they're not producing a whole lot of fruit. All right, and, you know, if you're a good tree, you're going to produce good fruit. If you're a bad one, you're not going to produce good fruit, even though you look good. And remember, the fig tree looked good, but whenever it got there, there were no figs on it. There were no fruit. But it looked the part. It's not just about looking the part, it's about acting the part. You know, and here's the thing, you know, I see a lot of Christians, and I'm not talking to someone, hopefully no one in this church, hopefully no one watching this online, but Christians as a whole that you know, claim to be Christians that don't act like Christians. You know, and I'm not trying to judge them, but I'm saying we're not being Christ-like a lot of times. A lot of times that we're quick to anger. And so the Bible says to be slow to anger. I mean, you know, we're quick to judge. The Bible says not to judge. I mean, they're not, if they're a Christian, I mean, I'm glad that they got their boarding pass to heaven, but they haven't learned anything else. Now I can make an exception if that someone got their boarding pass yesterday, but when they stamped their boarding pass 25 years ago, that's a problem. And that is one of the problems, and that's one of the reasons why my grandfather has a couple of books about growing up spiritually. And see, it's very popular in the world today to be a baby Christian and don't learn anything else because then you might have to actually live it. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not trying to pick on any pastor, so if you're thinking of a particular pastor, that's you being the judge and not me. There are a lot of ministers, it seems, that they don't want to get into their growing up spiritually because people can flock to the baby Christian phase. You know, but it's not just about getting somebody saved, it's about producing fruit. You know, it's about mentoring them. It's about, and this was really a teaching to not only to his disciples, not just the 12 disciples, but his disciples of him. And these are things that we need. You know, we need to grow in with God and our walk with God. And there are a lot of people I mean, there are people that say, well, I'm just a great soul winner. Well, what happens to the souls that you're winning? I don't know. That's for somebody else. I'm a soul winner. Well, you know, I think you're wasting your time because Jesus wasn't just a soul winner. Jesus produced, it doesn't say that Jesus got people saved. It says that Jesus produced disciples. And go there and do likewise. Because if you're just a soul winner, and I'm not mocking anybody who goes out and wins the loss, so we need to do that. So either you need to take those person, make sure they get into a good church, you know, call on them, check on them. You realize that my nutritionist, I don't have an appointment with him every week, but he calls me every week. He texts me every week. He checks on me. Why? Because he's a good nutritionist. He wants to make sure I'm doing okay. He wants to know if I'm struggling in certain areas. He wants to know, you know, there's something that he can help. Is there some advice he can give? That's the same thing we need to do. Man, you know, I believe it's my responsibility. If I get someone to pray that prayer, it's my responsibility to make sure that they get into the kingdom of God. Because ultimately, you know, one day I'm going to stand there. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to see, well, where's Johnny? I got Johnny saved like 28 years ago on the streets. Well, Johnny's not there because you didn't produce fruit. You just were telling him some good things. You know, and maybe Johnny got mixed up as a false prophet. I don't know. Maybe he did go to church. You know, the thing is, if you're not going to do it, then you better find somebody or know someone that says, okay, I'm not necessarily the best going out and winning the souls, but I'm a good disciple. You get them to me, and I'll be responsible for them. And so, I mean, it's just some good teaching as a good Christian. So, anyone, verse 20, 21, because I gotta get through here. Verse 21, not everyone who calls out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter heaven. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. You break God's laws. Well, that's really a scary thing right here. Jesus said this. I didn't say it. You know, Paul didn't say it. Peter didn't say it. John didn't say it. This was Jesus talking. This red letters. I mean, you know, I know many people don't like to hear that, but there'll be people that did a lot of good things in their name. But you know what? And I've seen a lot of ministers that they started out, everything was all about Jesus. And then as they continued, everything became all about them. It's all about their fame. It's all about, you know, I mean, they're actually no different than a Hollywood star. I mean, it's all about the glamour. All about, you know, they might appear in a lot of, you know, TV programs and interviews and this, and they even have paparazzi follow them because they're somebody famous. But you know what? You can have all the paparazzi follow you on the earth. That's not the real ticket. The ticket is what happens after you leave the earth. Are you going to have paparazzi for me? Because paparazzi don't matter. Anything you accomplish doesn't matter. All the stuff that you gathered here on earth doesn't matter. What matters is, were you walking after the things of God? And these are all laws that were things that were in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, last thing. All right, I know no one shouted on that last one, so praise God. Some of you might need to read it every day, so I'm just, you know. But it is scary to think that there'll be some people that says, but Lord, all the things I did in your name, I don't know. You know, the one thing that my grandfather said many, many times, I've heard him say it many times, and it stuck out, especially when I was a young child. He says that once we get to heaven, now he's saying this by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because he didn't actually get to see this until he actually graduated to heaven himself. But he says, when we get to heaven, there'll be people there that you thought wouldn't be there. He also said, but there'll also be people that aren't there that you thought would be there. And then he would go on. So I want to be there. Well, one of the ways to be there is to follow a lot of these rules, not necessarily the rules, a lot of these things that, you know, there's, the Christ-like natures that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. And a lot of them are here in Matthew chapter 7. And I know this is not a shouting thing, but this is a teachable moment, like Denise says. So we're teaching things, and a lot of people don't like to teach these kind of things because it's not, people don't really shout about it. All right, so the last thing is not being dumb. That's why I get the don't be stupid thing. I mean, called building a solid foundation, all right? Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it, it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the wind beats against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So basically, Jesus said, hey guys, don't be stupid. Follow after my teachings. I'm not just talking for you to do whatever you want to do. I'm teaching you to help you not only enjoy life here, but enjoy life to come. You know? And so a lot of times that we just decide for whatever reason not to follow sound judgment or sound doctrine. You know? And I mean, I always want to be planted on bedrock. Now, here's the thing, you know, we've all watched the Weather Channel during some of these hurricanes and different things like that. Do you realize that there are some people that have built their house on the beach? And I get it. It's nice to have a house on the beach. And all of a sudden, you know, they got hit by this hurricane and then they got hit by, you know, the next hurricane and next. And they get on the news all the time. I'm like, maybe you should move your house. Or maybe you should not have rebuilt it at the same place. Or maybe you should have, like, got down and dug down into some piers, I mean, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, I know that Dad's, he talks about, and actually starting with STC 1 and STC 2, and also this building as well. Here in Oklahoma, we have a lot of shifting soil. All right, and so on all our buildings here that we built, we've dug deep. In fact, the guy who put the piers in, he said one time, I think it was STC 2, he said, a semi-truck could hit one side of the building, you wouldn't feel it on the other side of the building. Because we dug down deeper than most people do, we dug down to the foundation. I know, you know, the house my sister and I, you know, lived in for a long time, moved there when I was in the eighth grade. My parents built it. It was on a hill. And we had a swimming pool. And our swimming pool even had piers on it. It said, if all of the dirt washed away, that swimming pool would still be there. You know, and obviously it costs a lot more money to dig deep, but then you don't have the problems that you have. So some of you have wondered, because, you know, I know you that are from other areas of the country have wondered, Oklahoma does have a thing called a tornado. Many of you have seen tornadoes, tornadoes. We also have earthquakes, too. I don't know if we had an earthquake the other day, by the way. It's 4-point-something. Some people felt it here in Tulsa. But we have tornadoes, and one of the best places to be in a tornado is in a basement. But a lot of houses in Oklahoma don't have basements. People will always wonder why. Well, I'm telling you the reason why. Because foundations in Oklahoma, they shift a lot. And if houses that have basements, a lot of times the basement begins to crack and it causes issues. That's why there's not a lot of basements in Oklahoma. So another teachable moment. You guys now learn about, you know, Oklahoma thing, you know. But the point is to build your house solid, to build your life solid based upon the things that Jesus has taught us, based upon the word, being a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. You know, it's one thing to be taught, another thing to act on what we've been taught. All right. And so I actually, we had a podcast last week on being equipped.
Brother Earl Glisson, he's actually working on a book on that. He says, you know, a lot of times that we as ministers, we, and even in the school, we teach, you know, but do we equip people? Because, you know, telling someone how to do somebody and showing them how to do it is a different story. You know, you have to talk the talk and walk the walk. You got to be the same. You know, here's the thing. Some people say, well, you know, sometimes I say things from the pulpit most people wouldn't say. Sometimes I act, you know, a little more less dignified from the pulpit because I just be myself. I mean, I'm the same way I am. And if you don't like it, don't watch. You know, or don't come to church or whatever. That's just the way I do it. That's just me. I tell stupid jokes. Some people laugh, some people don't. Some people laugh at me laughing, you know, because, you know, whatever, you know. It doesn't matter. That's just, I'm myself because, you know, I can't be a false prophet. I got to be myself. You know, a lot of times, actually, I've done youth ministry a lot of times, so I usually prepare my sermons like I'm doing youth ministry because I feel you can actually understand. You know, sometimes even like children's ministry because you're just that, you know, I want you to understand. You know, I don't look to be dignified. I don't try to wow you in amazement. I don't throw out a lot of Greek words. So I do like Greek salads. Just want to let you know. I do miss going to, you know, I mean, one of the reasons I like to go to Greece is I have a Greek salad. You say, well, you can have Greek salads all over. No, you can't. I mean, just trust me. If you've ever gone to Greece and had a Greek salad and you get a Greek salad at, you know, Subway or wherever you get one, you know, it's just not the same. I mean, anyone that's been to Greece can give us an amen. I know a lot of our army missionaries that have been there, man, there's just something like that Greek salad. And in fact, I know for sure that my dad booked a meeting in Greece just to have the Greek salad one time. Because a lot of times he goes to different things. Well, he goes to different schools, different, you know, he was over in Europe. He goes, well, I got to go to Greece. Well, you don't have to go to Greece. Yes, I do. So, but I don't throw out a lot of Greek words, Hebrew words, whatever. If we want to start understanding English words, maybe we'll throw out some more words. But the point is, don't be an idiot. Don't be stupid. Follow the teachings that Jesus gave us. All right. Now, what is interesting, after he gave us all these teachings, the very end of the thing, we're running out of time here. It says, verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So, you know, if you want to hear some amazing Jesus teachings, start in Matthew chapter 5, read Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and then Matthew 7. I just read a lot of things in Matthew 7, but, you know, we could have done whole sermons on those little paragraphs of things that he had to say, but Jesus had a lot of good things to say. And as a born-again Christian, I think it's real important to read the teachings of Jesus. You know, but you know what? I think it's actually more important not just to read the teachings of Jesus, but to follow after the teachings of Jesus, to follow after his attitudes, to follow after his lifestyle, you know, and it's not really that hard. Some people think, well, man, that's really hard. It's not. It's not. It's just another way of thinking. You know, there's just a different way of thinking. You're not thinking human nature. Human nature wants to always give a piece of your mind to somebody else that did you wrong. Well, putting on a godly nature, the mind of Christ, is not giving, you know, if you want to give him a piece of anyone's mind, you can give them a piece of the mind of Christ, and that's love and joy and I mean that's blessing those that persecute you. That's actually in the sermon there. I mean, they're many great things that we should read. And so if your house goes flat one day, maybe you weren't being a doer of the word. Maybe you weren't following after the teachings. Maybe you weren't building on the rock. And that's why we stay with the word here. But in order to stay with the word, we have to read the word. All right? And so just as it wasn't an amazing sermon, this was just true to life.
But it is a very helpful thing. You know, it is interesting. I think it's so amazing how things that were written so long ago apply to our life today. You know, because we see a lot of these things. We see judgmental Christians. We see people treating people not like the way they want to be treated, but treating people, you know, human nature. We see all kinds of different things coming forth. And it was all in Matthew chapter 7. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave us a bunch of stuff and nobody reads it. All right, not nobody, but not every... Well, you know, I said that wrong. A lot of people read it. But do you do it? Do we live life? Is it important? Because, you know, I always believe anything in red letters is important. I mean, not saying that Paul's not important, because some of my favorite verses are the Pauline epistles that Paul wrote, because I think it's very important as well. But this is Jesus. I mean, you know, maybe you can argue with Paul because Paul was just another minister, like we're all ministers. And, you know, maybe Paul can miss it, but this is Jesus Christ. All right? And so, you know, he said, don't argue with me, argue with him. So here's the thing. What you can do, live by what he said. If you have a beef to pick with them, well, get to heaven first, and then you can talk it over once you make it to heaven. But you got to get there to talk it over with them. So, do what he said. Get to heaven. You and Jesus have it out. You can give your philosophies and life and all. You know. My point is, once you get there, you're not going to care anyway. Just get there. God bless you guys. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for just being real with us and giving us rules to live by. But Father God, help each and every one of us every day of our life walk in the life that we need to walk in. Help us to be a doer of God's word. Help us to follow after the words that you have given us. And Father, just help us to be a more nice, loving person in this world. Help us to be caring. Help us to reach out toward the lost and toward the dying and toward the people who are going through a lot of troubled times, Father. Father, help us to be a light to this dark world. But Father God, we thank you that as we are here today, if there be someone that's here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, we thank you that you'll help them today to come to the saving knowledge of your Son Jesus. Or if there's somebody here that once walked with the Lord but have turned their back and went away but they need to come back today, Father, help them come back today. If you're here in this auditorium and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to today, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Anybody here that says, Craig, I'm not a Christian. I've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior in my life, so it's hard for me to walk and follow these rules whenever I don't even know Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've kind of just turned my back. I went away, and I want to rededicate my life to God today. If that's you, we want to pray with you across this auditorium, anybody. Don't be embarrassed, because there's nothing to be embarrassed about, man. It's life-changing. I know. Last Sunday night, we had one man came forward. His name is Daryl to rededicate his life. And we're praying for Daryl's life. We're praying that Daryl's life has changed now. Amen. So maybe some of you out there, you're like Daryl and you want to change your life. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you. If anyone is here that needs to be saved or needs to rededicate their life to God, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You have something you want to sing? Or?
And I surrender all to you. And everything I give to you.
Everyone has a wonderful week, enjoys the warm weather. You know, I'm going to get out there with my swimsuit. You know, probably, maybe it's not that warm, but enjoy the weather this week. It's going to be, you know, nice, warmer. Don't forget tonight, 6 p.m.
right here, you know, whether you're online or whether you're right here, or then Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I'll actually be ministering Wednesday night if you kind of want to know. I'm not sure what I'm preaching on. Hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you didn't, blame Jesus. Don't blame me. God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day. We'll see you later.